Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they just can't get to work for whatever reason. No Joel this week. Thursday snuck up on us quite quick somehow, and we forgot it was Thursday. So this is a rush. I have to do this quite quick, so I'm not going to take too long, because we want to get it out to you guys as quick as possible. We'll be back to normal next week with Joel, I'm sure, making his snidey remarks to me. Thanks. Happy New Year. I forgot that. Happy New Year. 2020. Got loads of cracking guests already lined up for this year, so I'm super excited about that. Let's just do it. This week we've got Daniel Muggleton. Enjoy.
Well, I mean, like last night I was telling you that gig in like Lescar. I was just on this bus for like 7 hours. Like basically, I missed the first one. Then like that to get on the second one, and then it made me pay a fee. Like even though I saw the first one leave from like the bus station, I was like, "It's fucking there, just let me on." And like, you can't. It's
you
like
need
2 minutes.
Drive, man. You need to get a license.
Never, I refuse in this country. I don't know why. I should just drive.
You should just do it, man. It's, oh mate, it would save you so much hassle.
I did so much driving in Australia that I'm just like, nah, look, let's just get on the bus with the people. The worst thing was I was on the bus without headphones. Like, oh my god, a mega bus without headphones. Have you ever, like, I don't think there's anything louder than a megabus passenger breathing through their nose. Like, it's echoing up and down the aisle.
I've never been on a megabus.
You've never done a megabus?
I've done the National Express to Edinburgh once.
Someone thinks they're something?
No, I did the Edinburgh.
Oh, to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I've never done that. One.
And it was the worst experience of my life, so I've never done a coach since.
Yeah.
And also, I'm very tall, so I can't ever sit and then have my head on the rest. My head just goes back because it's higher than the headrest normally.
Yeah.
And also, I've got scoliosis. So even if I could, my back isn't shaped in a way to be able to sit comfortably. So I had to have one of those neck things, and I didn't have one of those.
Oh,
so,
you have to have a pillow.
No, I don't. Well, to be comfortable.
To be comfortable.
To be able to sleep on anything like a plane, I have to, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've done, I think, 3 or 4 overnights on the megabus. Well, 2 megabus, 1 Flixbus. I've done Belgium to London overnight. And we were legitimately late because this like Egyptian family didn't have the correct visa. That was like just part of the experience. And you're just like, you're just on there, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, like am I making the right choices? Coming home from a gig.
Right. How was that?
Well, in Brussels.
Yeah, was it expats or was it natives?
A bit of both. I'd say less expats than I usually play.
Yeah.
But
did they get it? Did you have to change anything in your stuff?
Nah, but I think with my stuff is like, it's very kind of zeitgeisty.
Mm.
So like, they tend to get it. Like the references aren't. And because I, you know, kind of from Australia, come here, have like been to the States, like I'm kind of aware of different audiences. Like I'm not very couched in any one audience. Like I don't think like, I had to check myself a couple of times just because like I have kind of become a bit British and like at least give myself, again, context.
Yeah.
Like about, I'm an Australian in the UK. Here's an observation about that. And now we're in.
Yeah.
So like you have to do that a little bit different in Europe.
Of course. Yeah. So would you make an observation about them?
If I've been there a couple of times, like I'm pretty good with like the Dutch now. I fuck with the Dutch pretty good. And the Swedes and that.
I find Holland a bit flat.
Really? There we go. I know. Don't worry. I saw you change your...
So naturally into it. I thought, you might not have even noticed.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of emceeing? You should. That was good. Oh, you're from Holland. I find it a bit flat. Waits for applause. I've gotten some like local stuff about them. Actually, I was planning to mention this later, but I headlined a show in Milan.
Okay.
Which is in Italy. Don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah, Milan.
Very popular. That's how Milan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Milan. Is Milan proper? I don't know if that...
I would say Milan is the correct one.
Trump's wife or daughter or one of them.
Melania. That's his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we get it, mate. You don't do political stuff.
Is that... is she named after Milan?
I don't think so. I think it's with an M-E-L.
How is it?
I think she's Russian, isn't she?
Idea if she's in a rush or not.
Is she Russian? I thought she was Russian. Well, the kid's called Ivanka, so I assume like that's not coming from Trump. I don't think he's just. I don't think the Russians were influencing his decisions that early.
Yeah,
just even his kids, like, yeah, fucking Donald. This is what you should call them. Okay, sounds good. But yeah, Milan was because it was all Italian. Everyone else in the lineup was Italian. Everyone in the room was Italian. All the rest of the show was in Italian.
Yeah,
and I'm extra confusing because I look like a fucking Italian. So they're just like, here's another one. And I'm like, actually, this is going to be a vast change. But they should
laugh. Did you get a big good laugh at saying, I look like I'm Italian?
Yeah.
They'd like that.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Now I actually do make a real effort in Europe just to, because it just gives them time to adjust the accent. I will say something about them.
Yeah.
So in Milan, it was like when I went to buy a ticket to get to the hotel, like just a train ticket, there's like these traveler girls like at the machines just kind of lingering and like kind of creep me out. Like I don't know if they're trying to rob me, like I don't really know the vibe. They like they lean on the machine,
right?
And I thought
while
she was
using it.
Yeah, like, I thought she was like with the other person. I'm like, with my crick, I'm like, I don't know about this. But then when I went on stage, I was like I felt very welcome in Milan. Like you have those ticket machine attendants. They don't really help with the transaction, but it's nice to know they're there.
And everyone got
it.
Because that's that common. Wow. I didn't know
that. So they all got it. But they didn't get all this other stuff that is in Europe is like my kind of closing stuff.
Okay.
Like, which was about, the first one is about like race.
Yeah.
And kind of talking about that and judging people and like talking about people pretending they don't see color.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they just didn't get it. And I asked the Italian comedians after, I was like, cause I was, having a drink, talking about stuff. And they're like, yeah, we don't really see race like that in this country. We don't see like white and black. We're Italian, like, which is like half white, half African. And then we don't really think about black people as like this kind of group with stereotypes. Like they're not integrated enough into Italian culture for that to resonate. Then I did this stuff about like Me Too, and that was going well at the top where I'm kind of talking about like dick pics and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, we got that. And then I was like into the Me Too stuff where I was talking about like kind of consent and like how men used to behave, and they kind of got it at the start, and then I flipped it at the end because I talk about like an Italian mother. Like men used to offer their dicks like Italian mothers offer spaghetti, right? If you don't want it, you're going to have to say no at least twice. That's the joke. And then I like break it down and then I flip it and I'm like, men should offer dick like it's quiche, because if you offer someone quiche and they say no, you understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, I'm so sorry. I never should have offered you quiche in the first place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the joke. Thank you.
They're good, good food examples.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at like analogies and things like this. And thinking of examples like that of, yeah, it's great. Sorry, just enjoying it.
The Italian thing, like the spaghetti thing was me. And then when I was just kind of figuring out, this Australian man who I want to give a shout out to, Adam Vincent, he writes like The Last Leg. I was telling him the joke and he's like, dude, you should say that the other thing is quiche.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? And then I did the quiche bit. I did that in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
And it was funny because they laughed at everything apart from the quiche bit. And then now the final tag is like, the funny thing about that joke is it doesn't work in Luxembourg because they fucking love a quiche.
Okay.
They're like, who would turn that down? What are you, crazy?
I think quiche is a funny word.
Well, you say that, but Italians don't call it quiche.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently they call it frittata, not a funny word. And so I'm saying quiche, and there's just 150 Italians like, what? Really? I'm like, fuck. So like both my closing bits just tanked at the end. It was so funny. Then I was just like, look, I just have to go. I've done like half an hour.
But also, if you're in like a country where they're not used to a comic talking about that, this sort of thing, like pushing the boundary a little bit, and do you know what I mean? It's probably is a bit much for them.
Well,
because they don't know how to take anything.
Well, this was the thing that the Italian comics told me, which I found really interesting. And it was really funny. I could tell which of the Italian comedians was good, even though I couldn't understand them.
Right.
I could just purely based on the mannerisms and the timing and the cadence. I was like, this motherfucker's really funny.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, he's doing like a solo show here like soon. I'm like, I knew it. Like, yeah.
It's you a could fun game.
You could just see it. But anyway, he was saying like, yeah, the Me Too stuff, we just haven't really had Me Too here. Like, it's not really happened in Italy. That's not like part of the zeitgeist. That's not part of like our recent culture.
Yeah.
So like the one thing that they found, they were saying that was quite funny to me, they were saying like, yeah, Italy's great because you can say anything because there's no one's getting offended.
Yeah.
And that's actually become like, that's something that I'm turning into a bit.
Okay.
Where it's like the only reason I can think of to learn a foreign language is you can only get cancelled in English. In other languages, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Forever. And it's fine. And that's been going pretty well. So I'm pretty G'd about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was purely from that experience. Yeah.
So the stuff you got here, is this stuff from last show?
So one stuff from last show, one stuff from show before, one thing that I'm working on now that's just not landing.
Okay.
Which is really irritating me. And then one other thing from last show. Yeah, sorry. So like one thing from the show I just did, and then three jokes from the year before. I just ditched.
Okay, let's work backwards. So let's start. What's the bit you're working on now that you can't quite get to land?
Okay, so the joke, it was funny. It was just that it came from a conversation in Edinburgh, which is how basically all my shit happens. I say something and I'm like, that was actually pretty good, and I write that down.
Yeah.
Like I'm like a skinny guy. Like I'm tall, but I'm skinny, and it's like that thing where women want to date like a big guy so they feel safe.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, but if you date a guy like me, then you feel safe at home.
Okay.
Do you get the subtext?
Hang on. You feel safe at home because the big guys are the ones that are going to be beating them up.
Correct.
Yes, so that took me way too long.
Exactly. And that's what's happening with audiences.
Right.
And it's like...
Yeah.
It's
because you have to say to the audience, right, think about it. Yeah.
Well, like, it's been landing like, okay, but like it's one of those ones where like I can always tell.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Isn't yeah.
That stupid. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, when I've said it, comics at the back are laughing their heads off because, like, they immediately understand where I'm going.
What if they feel safe? Yeah. What can you not be? Can you be more specific? Like, safe at home when I've had a drink, or do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't like spelling it out that much. I think it's in the setup. But the funny thing was, I was talking to Andrea Hubert about it, and she's like, "Really? That's a girl's joke. Like, that's a better joke coming from a girl."
So my boyfriend, like, he's tall, skinny. The other girls prefer muscular guys.
Correct.
Because you're safe, but I feel safe
at home.
Yeah. Basically, she's trying to nick your joke.
I know. Fucking bitch. she's a good friend of mine, so I feel comfortable saying that about her recorded. But I think she's right. Like, I do think the kind of easier joke, well, the easier perspective to take an audience on that joke is the female perspective, being like, there's this kind of guy, and I choose this kind of guy because.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for me to do it...
Or, sorry, you keep talking, I've got something to say. Yeah.
All right. Well, just like, yeah, for me, I've got to kind of be like, I know a lot of women prefer to date blah, 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 so they feel safe when they go out.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I know that my girlfriend dates me because with me, she might not feel safe when she's out, but she does feel safe at home.
But see, I was going to say that. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Mm.
Make it... It's a happy... That's why your girlfriend... Because when you first said it, you just said the concept, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I think... Oh, so even when you say about my girlfriend chooses to be with me because she wants to feel safer at home, and that still doesn't really land...
Well, I haven't, like, I'm still figuring it out, but like, it's
that
just
will
one
work.
Of,
there's something there.
It's just one of those ones. Cause I was going to, yeah. Cause actually when we're working, yeah. Since we're working backwards. So is that, I think that's a good joke. And I think I don't need to change too much. I don't want to add too much more to it either.
No.
I kind of like it brief. Like,
but it, if it doesn't quite land, it just needs something just to get people's,
yeah,
just so they can't just get the idiots on board like me who took too long.
Mate, come on, you're very clever. We all know that. Yeah, I think it's like maybe like needs a little bit more setup because they're generally doing it like almost as a one-liner.
Yeah,
and like yeah, it's funny because I just kind of weirdly I've just been inserting like a couple of like one-liners in recently. Like the other one was just like a tweet that I just started doing on stage and it was killing.
Yeah,
which was just like London does more cocaine than Berlin, Amsterdam, and Barcelona combined. Which makes sense because like, if I'm paying that much rent, I want to be awake in my apartment for as long as possible.
That's good.
So that thing is just like, it's a very simple joke. And I kind of put that in like another bit. So it just kind of pops and then I can keep going.
Yeah.
And then I want to do like, I want to have this similar because I do have a thing about how all Australians are really big.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So it does kind of fit in something I've already talked about, but I just haven't been able to frame it properly. But I think it'll get there. You know, like I'm like, that is definitely not a drop, but I was curious to see what you'd think of the fact it took you that long. I'm like, yep, it needs but less also, concepts, more.
But also, when you're doing jokes one-to-one like this, you do have the added, if you don't get it straight away, you panic because it's awkward. And then,
hey,
and you know, and it's early.
It's not awkward. Come on now. Half my jokes don't land at any time. It's what keeps it interesting for me.
Okay, I like that. Okay, well, so from last year. Right,
so last time, I don't know, this is at the Fringe. This is when we hung out, where you signed me up with yourself and Darren Walsh and I had to awkwardly talk about how I hate puns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In front of the two biggest pun slingers in the game. Like literally the biggest, fucking huge units. Flanked by them.
Girlfriend scared.
Yeah, terrified. But when I was out, when we walked out in the street, I felt very safe. In the room, dangerous stuff. The thing, I don't know if you remember, it was about the pilot's name on the plane.
Yes.
It's like people judge people incorrectly, like they do racism wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the pilot on the plane, his name was Mohammed bin Hussein, and people tensed up around me and I was like, what are you doing? This guy's the best pilot ever.
He's the most looked into.
Yeah, this guy. Like, think of the obstacles he had to overcome. And it wasn't working. And then I didn't have it in the show. Yeah. And then based on that, I was like, fuck it, I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
And I kind of went heavier on it at the end. So it was like people were doing it wrong in the scrutiny.
Yeah.
So like there was that bit. Like this guy's been the most heavily scrutinized person ever. And like the turn was, this is how you know he's good. He's saying the name. You never see the pilot. He could lie. He could be like, yeah, it's John Smith, you're fucking racist. But he's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, the name is Mohammed bin Hussein. Watch me land this cunt. Watch me do it.
And then you put that in the show.
Yeah.
Wicked.
That just went straight in, yeah.
And it got it.
Dude, like applause like a few times.
So what did you change?
Just the
passion for it. Just giving it a bit more.
Giving it a bit more. Saying cunt, that works. If you're Australian, I don't know if you know. If you're an aspiring Australian comedian, just say cunt, they will laugh. But I think, I think it's purely because like my manner on stage is very relaxed.
Because like, did we say that we quite liked it?
Yeah, and you guys were like, I don't know why that doesn't work.
Yeah,
And I was like, I don't know either. It's driving me crazy because I think it's so funny. And it's so... Like all my favorite stuff is stuff that is, if you think about it, it is actually a very progressive opinion, but it sounds racist. Like that's the best.
Yeah.
When people are like, what the fuck? And if you're listening, you're like, that was actually, you know, almost preachy. Like, but the way that I'm saying it makes it sound like I'm just being a jerk, which is like ideal. That's like, that's the pocket I want to be in.
Yeah.
And I think just kind of coming harder at it. Like kind of true because they pull back when I'm talking about it. Yeah. So it's kind of like when the people in the plane hear the name, so kind of back. And if I like just kind of keep coming at them, like with enough justifications, they're like, well, clearly he doesn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
This is just, you know, like this is just an observation.
That's a nice story from the podcast.
There you go. Yeah. Bloody callback to the pod. Yeah, callback to an old ep. But no, the funny thing was like, I don't know if I mentioned on that. I remember this was like a big light bulb thing for me in comedy, like Louis CK talking about like a joke of his about like complaining about the Wi-Fi on the plane.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, the guy next to me was like, what a like fucking piece of shit. Like the Wi-Fi doesn't work. Like when he didn't know before that moment, there was Wi-Fi on the plane. And he's like, yeah, that story's about me. Like, it's not a guy next to me. Like, it's me every time. Time there's like a person that I see do something, it's always just me doing it and then realizing I was a dick later. That's exactly what was the Mohammed bin Hussein thing. I just remember being like, that's an interesting name for a pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you piece of shit. Like, you know.
Oh, and interesting.
That's where the joke came from.
Nice.
Was
it that name or have you upped it? Because just to be close to...
No, like I was annoyed at myself because I don't think I wrote it down at the time, but okay. it was like adjacent to that. Like I didn't like...
That's almost a perfect, the worst name.
Yeah, because it's like, because it's funny because like, it's not his name at all.
Mm.
Like there's like, it's not Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
But there's a bin in it.
Yeah.
And there's Muhammad, which is like... Which
makes people uncomfortable just because of the...
Most Islamic name, well, most common name in the world, but also Islam.
Yeah.
And then Hussein for Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, there's just all the names there. And like, I don't know if I invented it or if it was the actual name, but from memory, that's what I came up with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was just that. Like, you really were just kind of like, all right. Because, like, it was, yeah, it was just funny. Because, like, other people did tense up. Like, it wasn't just me. But, like, you could just see it.
Maybe it's someone who hasn't got a name. They're just trying to wind the passengers up.
Wouldn't that be even better? I would love that. It was just, like, this Asian pilot doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Just this Chinese dude. And, like, watch these white people. I'm all for that. I'm all for race baiting white people. It's, like, my favorite. It's my absolute favorite.
Yeah, cool. What's next?
What's next? Okay. So, the thing I dropped from the... Solo show. You got to remind me if we did this because like Edinburgh's such a blur.
Yeah, I think your episode that we put out was a compilation, so we may not have covered every joke anyway.
Great. Well, it was this is supposed to be like the end story of my show.
Yeah.
They kind of brought everything together. Then I didn't like it as an ending. And I chucked it in the middle and then I got a negative review that said it was like too long.
During the fringe.
Okay. And then I like chopped most of it out and just left like the one.
I don't remember you telling us about that.
Tight observation. It's another one about terrorism, of course. I got a genre. And yeah, basically it was about this story. It's a true story where I was on holiday with my dad in France and it was Bastille Day.
Yeah.
And the way that I set up the joke was like Bastille Day in France. They just call it July 14th or whatever. Yeah. Classic French. And then there was a military parade and old white people like watching people march. It's like their favorite thing. So my dad wanted to watch this parade. I just didn't want to do it because like, you know, it just seems like a bit of a target.
Right.
Like I'm not in like, you know, just like a military parade, Bastille Day, France. Like this is like alarm bells. So I do this thing I do sometimes where I like look around and try and spot a terrorist. And then like, I just kind of go through like the aspects of a terrorist, like what you'd expect a terrorist to look like. And the first one, like male.
Yeah.
You know, pretty sexist hiring policy. Over there at Islamic State, you know, like not a lot of quotas. And then second one, hairy. And I just say, like, you've never seen a terrorist who looks like he might be a professional swimmer.
I think I might see where this is going.
The other one is backpack.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, you got to keep it somewhere. And I think a backpack's only appropriate, like, luggage for a terrorist. So you kind of a briefcase is a bit like black and white film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of a satchel. You can't have a tote bag because, you know, you can't be into the environment and the caliphate, you know, like that's so like, but the thing was then I'd be like, it looks like a professional swimmer. I mean, that's like an Islamic terrorist, like obviously like a white supremacist, all of them look exactly like professional swimmers. So, you know, so you got to be careful. But anyway, and then like, yeah, so the whole thing is then I was looking around for like 15 minutes. Then I realized it was me.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah. Yeah. But as soon as you said hairy and you're sitting in front of me and you're hairy, that's what did it for me.
Yeah. So I had that. So I realized I was looking for myself, you know, it's like a more important factor than
So when you did that as a bit, did you get, was it little laugh, and then a big laugh for the reveal?
Yeah. Like I always try to.
Is that the short version?
Yeah. That's not word for word.
Yeah.
Like,
so when you got reviews and they said it was too long, that was a bigger bit, was it?
Well, I mean, that was kind of like sped up. Like, I just don't like doing the joke word for word.
I
feel responsible to the listeners, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was like, it's about 3 minutes or something.
And sometimes it didn't land.
No, it just never went that well. Like, it never really got that big laugh.
Do you think they saw it coming? Or, because my inkling would be they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because... But it's just me could be in a comic and thinking it's a joke, so I'm trying to work it out. But.
Well, that was like how I initially told it.
Yeah.
And then I switched the location to the tube.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
it let me do.
Oh, that's nice. Because then it's a nice natural in to where you are.
Yeah. And I also got to do like the see it, say it, sorted.
Yeah.
Because like, I have a thing about that. It's like, call this number, stop 9/11, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and the whole thing is like, I'm too woke for that sign. Like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, that could be awkward, you know? So for me, it's like, see it, think it. Sort of move out of the way, right? That's the...
I had a situation... I don't think I ever told this on this podcast. I did on the... So when I used to do a podcast with Sean... Well, it was a radio show with Sean Walsh called Newsish and Filmish, if you want to go check out the old ones. and I was on the way there. I've got to try and remember what happened. And I was on the train because I was living in Kent at the time. Was on the train? Yeah, I was on the train and there's a guy talking to himself. Headphones in, talking to himself. And every so often, it was quite busy, he'd mutter something terroristy. Like, just kill everyone or stuff like that. And it was really, everyone was quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, as you would be.
So.
Someone's talking on the tube.
Like, yeah, no, it's not the tube, it was a train.
Oh, a train. Okay, yeah. Like a proper train.
So, my thought was. Tell someone because that is suspicious. There was someone. I think he's just got a mental issue. But you don't know because I mean, a terrorist probably isn't gonna start telling everyone about it just before he does it.
No,
do you know what I mean?
Well, he's not a good terrorist.
But he could be. So I don't know what the right word to use. I want to say crazy, but he could be.
Well, that sounds like schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And I don't know enough about schizophrenia.
Sure.
Because people with schizophrenia sometimes do crazy stuff and kill people.
Like they're off their meds. It can be very dangerous.
So even if he's not a proper terrorist, he could still do something that a terrorist would. So anyway, all this is going through your head. You're like, what do you do?
Even if he's not affiliated, he could be an issue. Yeah.
So what I thought I'd do is, because the way it was seated, if I got up and went past him, it might be a bit weird and I can't remember what my thought process was, but I got off the train at the next stop and I was going to go up and then get on again and then go off up the other end to tell the
driver,
just that there is something a bit suspicious going on.
Mm.
And then the door shut and I got so the train left and I was like, I've just fucked off, haven't I? And nothing happened.
Yeah, but you've just been like, I've just...
I was trying to get back on and because I was in the middle and I went down that way and back round and I go past, I just didn't get on in time.
So you just were like, well...
Yeah, and I was late for the radio show.
I saved myself,
literally. It looks terrible. So anyone on... If that train blew up and I got off and just waited there for the next one and they looked on the CCTV, I just looked like an absolute arsehole. I knew.
Can you imagine that news report? One passenger seemed to have known more.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Weirdly, like the whole thing about like what to do on a train. So like with this gig last night, I got a train home and I hadn't like eaten for ages, and I had like this kind of mouthful of chips, and I must have just chewed them properly because I was just like kind of just so relieved to be like leaving Sheffield off this like ordeal. I just started choking.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was just indigestion, and I was like, just get it down, that'll be fine. And then it was like, no, it was just properly lodged in my throat.
Oh, I hate that.
And I was like, shit, like yeah. Choking's bad. Like I haven't choked like at least a decade. Like,
did you eventually it just subsided?
Well, this was no. So this is the thing. I was like, shit, I think I'm choking. So I got up, but like I think this country's had an effect on me because I was like very politely choking. Like there were people on the train.
You don't want to cause a fuss.
Exactly. So I was like, I was kind of looking for a bathroom to choke in because I thought that was appropriate.
I'd rather die than draw attention to the fact that I've been stupid enough to make myself choke.
On hot yeah. chips, like the most mashable of all foodstuffs. And like, so I just kind of went up, couldn't find a bathroom. So I just like found like the bin and kind of pulled it out. I was like kind of like spitting like this like saliva and like retching. Mm. And this guy's like, do you want me to pat you on the back? Mm. And I was like, no, thank you. And then kept retching and kind of pulled it up. And then he's like, can I pat you on the back now? And I was like, yeah, I think you should. And he was just being like super calm.
Yeah.
Like,
is the thing that when you do first aid, that is the thing, blows to the black. To the back of the done thing now.
Yeah, sharp, not Heimlich. Heimlich's out.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the thing. So I'm just like slowly like baby birding this like potato back up.
Oh my God.
And just into this bin, like kneeling in the middle of the train. Like I really wish the bathroom was available. But like anyway, so I'm just doing that. Just like dying.
Oh my God.
And this guy's like so calm. He's like, just deep breaths. You'll be okay. Blah, blah, blah. And I felt fine again. And I was like, it's like a good 10 minutes to like get everything out. And the guy was just like, oh man, it's a big night. And I'm like, nah, dude, I was choking. And he's like, you were choking. Why didn't you say anything?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He just thought I was drunk. He just thought I was vomiting. Which in England is fine, obviously. It's you guys normal. Vomit everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your gift. But wow, yeah,
it was just... killed some of the 7 hours, eh?
Mate, it was just... Oh, it was so funny. Just like... I find it on a train after this ordeal on the bus, like good living, and I'm just dying immediately.
I once choked on a Toblerone.
A Toblerone?
Yeah.
Is that... Can you choke on a Toblerone? Should they just melt before it's...
No, no, it's big old chunks of Toblerone. Ah. And I was at work, back where I used to work at Kent Uni, and started choking. And a guy that I went on the first aid with, I always went on first aid with him over the 10 years I worked there. He just went bang on my back, reacted brilliantly. His name's Pat Coogan. He saved my life. And it came up and it was fine. But yeah, that was horrible. I haven't eaten a Toblerone since.
Well, that was the thing. I didn't have any other food, so I just had to then eat the chips. Like, I had to eat the rest. This was my first
very
mouthful.
Very carefully.
Yeah, I was like chewing like a fucking toddler. Like, I just figured out how to do it. But yeah. Oh, man. It was like just such a bizarre... Like, the train, but like there were like all these other people who just ignored. Mm. And then like when we got off, like everyone got off at like Doncaster. Like he met a guy that he knew, and he's like, yeah, this guy just choked and saved his life. And then, like, these other people in the train were like, oh yeah, we heard someone choking. We heard that. We didn't want to be involved though. Which I just thought was so funny.
Cool. What else you got?
What else have I got? Alright, so this one is something I've been trying to do for ages. I did it in my show like 2018, and it just never, like, sometimes it'll do okay, but like basically, it's just sibling abuse.
Right.
So it started with this thing, like, because I hate this, because I'm an only child, right?
Yeah.
So there's this thing that people with siblings do, which drives me fucking mental, which is just they will complain about their sibling forever.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes straight rant about how they suck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say like, yeah, man, he is a bit of a dick.
Yeah. And then they're
like, the fuck, you can't say that about my brother. And you're like, you just did.
Yeah.
What are you doing to me? Like, I don't understand why I'm part of this if I can't participate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it started with that. And like, basically,
that's a really relatable thing.
Yeah, you'd think so, but like I never really got it working.
It's like I could say what I like about my brother, but you say something about my brother.
Yeah, exactly. Trouble. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I just kind of would set it up as in like, I don't, you know, if you've got siblings, I like talk to the crowd and like, have you got siblings? Like, you know, were you the youngest? Were you the eldest? Did you bully the younger one? Mm. Did you get bullied? Blah, blah, blah. I tell a story about my fiance, which is true, like her sister locked her in a car seat, like a baby booster seat.
Yeah.
And then left that seat in the next door neighbor's lawn because she told Mary, my fiance, that they were her real parents, right? And this is when she was like 3.
That's funny.
And the sister's like 5. It's like, they're your real parents. Nah. Like, you know, that kind of shit. And like, yeah. And I'm just like, but how's your relationship with your sister now? And she's like, oh, like, you know, maid of honor at a wedding and stuff. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, but why? Like, I would never treat anyone that poorly. And you guys just... I was always like about you guys just kind of be like, that's just growing up.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like, no, it's not. I didn't have that. I didn't get viciously bullied by someone who kind of looks like me just forever and think that's a good thing. It's like, why don't you treat people better? And I used to do the thing where it's like, if I complain about my parents to you, join in. You're all I've got.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a sibling. I don't have like another parent. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking for you to agree.
Yeah.
When I complain. And it just never...
So it's, feels like it needs like an example of like, but then you kind of have to, because like, so what she said, so what she's done is she's basically kidnapped her sister and given them to someone else. So if her sister was then kidnapped by someone, then like you say, she kind of has to have a problem with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like the more extreme, so you're saying like, if you're talking about my, you can't say anything bad about my sister, but I can. You can't kidnap my sister, but I can.
Yeah.
But like that makes sense. That's, do you know what I mean? The more extreme it is, the more sense it makes that you're allowed to do that. So could you do a...
Sure. So
I
like,
I don't really know where I'm going with this.
There's
something in like...
Yeah, like I'm allowed to kidnap my sister, but if anyone else kidnaps my sister, I'm also the one that's going to save her.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of... It's like a down payment.
Yeah.
Like... This bit. This was part of it where it's like, because the older one bullies the younger one. My best friend was like this with his older brother. It's like his brother used to play the one punch game where like he'd go into a room, say like one punch, and he just punched the guy, punch my brother and my best friend and just leave the room.
Right.
And that was the game.
Right.
And then he's like, yeah, but like, you know, that was when we were younger. Now that as soon as we turned like 14, like it all kind of stopped and we started getting on, you know?
Mm.
And I'm like, no, it's just that at that point, you were the same size as him.
Yeah, so he...
So he couldn't win anymore. Yeah, like, every time, automatically. Like, it wasn't respect. It was just like, okay, the fun's over. Do you think, like, there's one person that kind of drives it? Because, like, sometimes this little brother who's a shit to the older brother who's, like, not particularly interested. Like, do you think it's just, like, the one who isn't the favorite? Because, like, you all know who, like...
I think it's probably both, isn't it? It's probably... You don't realize you're being annoying to the older brother, and he probably doesn't. No, I think he knew it was me.
Well, this is like one of my really good friends. She told me with her little sister, like they didn't really fight, but like they used to get Barbies, and like the way that like they get the accessories was one would choose one, and the other one would choose one.
Yeah,
and what she'd do is just pick the thing she wanted, and then pretend she really wanted the shit thing. So her sister would take that, her little sister, and then she'd take like all the good stuff.
Oh, so that's nice. So in that way, the little sister thinks that So it's all nice, isn't it? There's no animosity because the little sister thinks she's got the best thing.
No, but then at the end, the little sister would realize, like, why does she have, like, a scuba gear and a wedding dress? Like, the other one's got regular clothes for a Barbie.
Like, that's funny.
It was so fun. I really did try to explain it to, like, a lot of different ways. And it's the same thing where you're like, but isn't it nice? But the other thing that I try to include that never worked is, like, siblings only ever fall out as adults.
Right.
Like, if there's ever like...
Because they can.
Because they're... later.
But they're not allowed to actually fall out when they're under the same roof because the parents are controlling that.
Yeah.
They're not... It's just not... Whereas, when they're older, you can't just not see your sister or your brother.
But I mean like way older. Like I'm always like... It's always like when they're like 30 and it's always like about the inheritance or like something to do with their parents. Like just this like very minuscule thing considering like the 10-year Stockholm syndrome fucking torture you took out on each other growing up.
Yeah. So that's a funny angle. Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, but we got my mum cataract surgery and I don't think she should have got it. So I don't talk to my 6 siblings anymore. That's my dad.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, I think maybe that's why like he's 1 of 8. And like,
there's a joke in something about not seeing it. He doesn't see him enough.
The cataracts.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah. Word associating. You son of a bitch.
There's a joke there.
Unbelievable. I could just never make it work.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating to me because I still can't do it. I think it's just genuinely because people disagree.
There's too many options, maybe, of the way you can think about it.
Yeah, but I think because it's not a personal experience thing, because I try to not do that very much on stage. I don't really talk about anything that's actually happened to me.
What if you have like a sweeping statement of like agreeing with China, like you can only have one kid, and like that's how you sort of set out this sweeping statement, and then you're arguing your case about it's ridiculous. Kids, like the way they bully each other and they... that you're forced to like them.
Mm.
If he took that option away, you wouldn't have to go through all that. I don't know.
Like, that's actually an old joke of mine. It's on my special. It's on there. About China. Being like, as an only child, I thought like no one could relate to my experience. And then I remember the one child policy.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in the majority, dude.
That's good.
This is sick. Now people are like, hey, Dan, do you understand Chinese culture? I can say, kind of. There you go. Old joke. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, very nice.
Until you mentioned it just now.
Oh, good stuff. We've got one last bit.
One last bit.
Yeah, we spoke for ages.
We spoke for ages. Oh, my God. Yeah, all right. So this was just... all right. I was going to do... There's one about like becoming like my dad, but I think it's just like a hack joke. Like, unless you got a real good angle on it. He gives a shit. All right. So this is like the end of another joke about they've ruined childhood with like making it too safe, like the trampolines with the nets.
Yeah.
I this whole bit about that. That works quite well about how like my parents never hit me, but they just got me a trampoline without a net, which was the same thing. Like letting like a 7-year-old bounce on that unsupervised, they're going to fuck themselves up. You know, like they're going to learn consequences quite quickly.
So I did the classic thing as you started saying something and I started thinking of a joke.
Oh, really?
As in, and then I wasn't listening. And this happens sometimes on there and I'm always totally honest.
Sure.
Because you were saying something about they don't have a childhood anymore. But then when you don't have the net, you don't have a childhood because you die. Also, like, do you know what I mean? There's like,
oh, okay, yeah,
that's
yeah,
all
yeah.
I was thinking. There's something there. Anyway, sorry. Say that again.
Sure.
I mean, the listeners heard it.
Yeah, they got it. But like, I want you to hear it. That's they don't want to hear me talk. They want to hear us talk. So it's like getting rid of the netting on the trampoline that kind of ruins it because like trampolines were a way that middle class parents could hit their children without doing it themselves. Like they'd teach consequences. Like I'd be like, Mom, I don't want to do my homework. She'd be like, fine, go play on the trampoline.
That's great. That's good.
It's like,
does that get off?
Yeah. So that bit's good.
Yeah.
So that bit kind of works.
But might have its ups and downs.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry.
Like you're like, wee. Like you do like a little hand gesture.
A terrible joke, that's why.
But like punt it in. So I could have that. And like that would go quite well. And then the way that I kind of ended is like, I think that is why kids are depressed now. Like you never had depressed kids when I was growing up.
Right.
Like people, because like they were too busy being in pain. because like you can't be in physical pain and existential pain at the same time.
Yeah.
Like one distracts you from the other. You know, I never jam my hand in a car door and be like, fuck, is this it? Is this all there is? And it never works.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. That joke bombs, boy. Bombs. But it's funny.
Maybe it is just down to the fact that maybe do that many kids get hurt on trampolines when they without a net? They do.
Dude, my trampoline, we just like, oh, the sheer number of injuries on that thing. It was amazing. And there was,
I really like the example of like the whole example of the pain. But and maybe the depressed kids thing. That's a, but then is that a thing, is it?
There's growing rate of youth depression. Yeah, absolutely. I think also it's like it's quite a dark like
topic. It's not a nice image of a kid being.
Yeah. But like it also like I have references sometimes when I've told it. And I know this joke is kind of like a reverse justification for self-harm, but that's not the point of the joke.
Well, that's the joke,
isn't
it? If
you're sad as a child, just cut yourself. You'll feel great.
But that's the joke.
But yeah.
Do you say that afterwards?
I have. And again, I promise you, this thing, because I've done it like on its own. I've done it in the context of that joke.
When you're at the point where you've done a couple of Netflix specials, bring that back and they'll go with it. Daniel Muggleton! Not as loud as normal, that little shouty section, because my flatmate's dad is in our flat and he's asleep. So not shouting too much. There's Daniel Muggleton, cracking episode. Thanks very much, Daniel, for coming in. What? If you enjoyed the podcast, as usual, any feedback at Jokes with Mark across all social medias. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we bloody love it if you could go and leave a 5-star review at iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it's now called. That's it, really. I'll speak to you next week. We'll do a longer beginning and outro bit with Joel next week. Thanks for listening. Hashtag Awooga.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.